Our first reading this morning is taken from Ephesians, the very book Sam was talking about. I think we have a fairly potato-free lection, but I will tell you, just as a fun fact to know and tell, that in Greek, this passage we're about to read is all one long sentence. So be glad that they don't do sentence diagramming anymore in school. This is on page 192 of the New Testament in your pew Bible, page 192. Listen now for a word from God as it comes to us from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Returning to page 552 in the Old Testament section of our pew Bible, to Psalm 100. And we'll read this responsively, like we've been reading. I'll read the odd verses, and you can read the even verses of Psalm 100. Listen now for a word from God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Almighty and everlasting God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable unto you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I don't know if you know this about me, but I am an award winner. Yes, it's true. I'm an award winner. But before we get too excited about that, let me tell you the award. When I was in seminary, we have some seminary friends visiting us this weekend, which brings back all sorts of seminary remembrances. And when I was a senior in seminary, I went to the mailbox and I did my tricky little combination and I pulled out this letter. And it said, Michael McCormack, we are pleased to inform you that you are the winner of the Burton Z. Cooper Award in Theology. I was like, great! What's that? I had no idea. I was selected by the faculty to win this award, and it said, we will present you your award on Thursday at the fall convocation. I was like, great, when's that? Well, it's like 7 o'clock on Thursday. So I went home, and I looked through my closet. I was like, I need a nice shirt to wear. Okay, I need a clean shirt to wear. Ooh, did I do laundry? No, I went and bought a new shirt. Bought a new shirt, a nice shirt. It was on sale. It was a stripy, you know, vertical striped dress shirt. I looked good. And I went to the fall convocation, and I will tell you that that's probably one of the first times that I was noticed by Elizabeth West. So it was going good for me. So the president gave some remarks at the very beginning. Then he announced the award winners. Eventually, he said, the Burton Z. Cooper Prize in Theology is awarded to Michael McCormack. And there was a small amount of applause, just the right amount. And I went up and I shook the president's hand and I held my award, and there was a picture, I think. And that's when I sort of looked and realized that this award was produced on a laser printer. Not a very prestigious award. But the president handed me an envelope. I was like, okay. Didn't know if this was like something from the trustees to consider giving to the institution early or something. So I went back down to my seat and I opened up the envelope, and there was a check in there. This award had a cash prize. And this check was, I forget the exact amount, but it was over $800. Never in my whole life had I seen a check made out to me for over $800. Anything that came in the mail to me that was about $800 was usually like a bill. This was a check for $800. And then the first hymn began to play, and everyone began to sing. But in my new shirt, with my award in one hand and my check in the other, I started to sing a different tune in my heart. I was singing, "To me be the glory, great things I have done. So love me the faculty that I got this fat check and bought this swell shirt on sale at Dillard's. So give me the glory, great things I have done." I was jazzed up, man. I was not having an ego problem that day at all. You know, like the Grinch whose heart grows three sizes that day, my head grew at least three sizes. I was having a little bit of ego trouble. Let me show you a clip from a movie, one of my favorite movies from one of my favorite trilogies. Next to Star Wars and The Godfather, it's The Lord of the Rings. And this clip is, it's just 42 seconds long. I hope it won't feel too long to you, but we'll watch this and I'll say something about it. Now, just as a fun fact to know and tell, I think that Elijah Wood was given $100 anytime he could cry on screen. And I think if anybody in the cast could yell Frodo, they got probably $20 or a gift certificate, because there's a lot of that happening. I think this is a great movie, and this is a great scene, because just to explain it in case for some reason you've been waiting for an illness in order to watch Lord of the Rings, because you don't really have a lot of time in bed to watch, which is where everyone watches TV now in bed, right? Sorry. So that soccer ball thing, I think it messed me up somehow. Anyway, so Frodo has to take the ring to Mordor, where the shadows lie, to basically save the world. He's going to throw it in the big volcano mountain, melt it up, and everything's going to be good. And so he realizes that this responsibility, in his mind, this responsibility means that he has to go by himself to do this. No one else can come with him. He has to go alone. And then we saw his best friend, Sean Astin, there. Samwise Gamgee comes out and says, and that's actually funny. None of you laughed. I didn't take it personally. None of you laughed, though, when Frodo says, "I'm going alone." And Sam says, "Yes, and I'm going with you." I think that's so funny. But we're a little bit like that. You know, we've got ego trouble. We're going alone. You listen to kids play. You'll hear, you know, children, as soon as they can talk, it doesn't take long before they say, "I can do it myself." Excuse me. Or you'll hear my other favorite one, "You're not the boss of me." You just take that sentiment, and translate it up into adult terms, and we talk about pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. We talk about rugged individualism. We've got a little ego trouble. Now, in the Presbyterian Church, when we do elder training, we talk about many of the themes of the Reformed tradition. And there's a quote I want to show you. It's one of the many themes. And it's our recognition of the tendency to idolatry and tyranny. We all have this tendency within ourselves. We have this ego trouble. Now, idolatry, if you want to know what idolatry means, it means worshiping something as God that isn't God. This would be possessions, fast cars, faster women. It could be sex. It could be power. It could be anything. It could be religion, worshiping religion as God. It could be worshiping the Bible as God. Idolatry is everywhere. The other piece of this quote is about tyranny. And in my mind, I think of that as worshiping someone as God who isn't God. And really, the someone we all struggle with is ourselves. Worshiping ourselves. I can do it myself. You're not the boss of me. I'm going alone. But the good news of the gospel is we can't do it by ourselves. We're not the boss of anybody. We say to God, I'm going alone. And the good news is God says, yes, and I'm going with you. Yeah. We read from Psalm 100 today, the whole thing. Not a very long psalm. Probably one that you've heard many, many times. Maybe even accidentally committed it to memory. Psalm 100 is a psalm of praise. And it's really a psalm, it's a corporate call to worship. You can imagine the people in the second temple singing this together as they entered into temple to worship, right? It's a song of corporate worship. But I want to show you, as we look at the psalm, there's a really fascinating structure. And I've got some slides. And I just want to go over, there's a lot of imperatives in this psalm. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Or we have always heard it as make a joyful noise. But shout is better. So shout is one. Worship or serve the Lord with gladness. That's the second imperative. And then come into his presence with singing. Or come before him with joyful singing. And then know that the Lord is God. And then what happens is kind of the tone changes. We've got these short imperatives, right? We've got shout to the Lord, all the earth. What was the second one? The soccer ball. Thank you. You guys are good. Worship the Lord with gladness, right? Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It's these staccato imperatives. And then there's a little like change in the mood. It's like there's a reason given. It's he that made us, and we are his. We're the sheep of his pasture. So we've got, you know, it almost sounds like the opening of Beethoven's Third Symphony. Dun, 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 dun. So that's kind of what it's like. And then, we've got imperative, 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 imperative. Reason, because it's God that made us, we're his, the sheep of his pasture. And then it moves on to three more imperatives, and then another reason. Come into his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Next, give thanks to him, bless his name, because his steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I do chapel. I do chapel with the school during the week. And so on Wednesdays and Thursdays, I usually spend a little time with them. And I usually make it kind of whatever I'm preaching on. And so because there's so many imperatives in this and because they're so important, I thought, well, wouldn't it be fun to do sign language with the kids? Won't that be a good idea? And it was a lot of fun. And so what I want to do is I want to have Phoebe Irby come up here and teach all of us these imperatives. Yeah, but she's not here. Yeah, I talked to her, she wasn't able to be here. So you just have me. But don't feel bad because I have a computer. So I can diagnose health issues. I can buy a really terrible car from across the country. I can do all sorts of things with a computer, and I can learn sign language. So don't feel bad. So I want to teach you these imperatives because it's pretty terrific. And what happens is if you get your body involved in this psalm, you accidentally remember it, unless someone throws a soccer ball at you in the middle of church, which hasn't really happened to anybody much. So what you need to do, and I'm left-handed, so what I've also learned about American Sign Language is that it's really rightist. It's a rightist language, because a lot of stuff happens with your right hand. So anyway, I'm going to let that go. So you take your right hand, Be careful as you're doing this. Don't hit your neighbor in the face. Neighbors don't like that. So, you know, be subtle. Be Presbyterian about it. All right. So you take your right hand and you kind of crumple your hand up like this. Right? And then you go like this. This is shout. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Good. You're doing that. Very good. See, people say Presbyterians don't hold up their hands in church and wave and get Pentecostal. You guys are doing great. So shout. All right. The next one we know is we often think of the first verse as make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. But it's shout, really, which is better. And then it's serve the Lord with gladness. But the word for serve is really closer to worship. So the sign for worship is you take your hands like this, and this sort of makes sense, doesn't it? And you go like this. Worship the Lord. Now, you can do it as many times as you want. The guy in the video just did it once, and then I had to restart the video because I wasn't sure what he did. But you can do it a lot if you want. So we shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Then the sign for come is you take both fingers like this, and you make a fast motion toward yourself. Come. You could come whatever speed you want. So come into his presence with singing. Then know that the Lord is God, right? It is he who made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Then we know it as enter into his courts with thanksgiving. But that's really, it's come again. Come into his courts with thanksgiving. And then we give thanks, which is you take your hands and you go like this. This is a cool one. You give thanks. Give thanks to him. You guys are sports, I'll tell you. I'll never tell anyone you ever did this, all right? So give thanks to him. And then bless is my favorite. Bless is my favorite. You take, you go like this with both hands, right? And you put them together, put them on your mouth. And then this is a cool one. You'll be glad you know it. Bless. Doesn't it? It feels like blessing, right? Bless his name. Those are the imperatives. Now, this is a very silly thing that I've had you to do. But what we notice as we kind of get ourselves involved in this psalm is that we did come, then we did know, then we did come again. That's a little thing in the center of the psalm. These two imperatives to come surrounding know. That means that this verse know is really important. Know that the Lord is God, and it is he who made us. If you saw in your scripture, there's a little A. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. A. If you go down to A, another reading is, and not we ourselves. That's an older reading, but it still gets to the point that the Lord is God, and we are not. We're not. That's silly to say. It seems very obvious, but we spend a lot of time in our lives acting like we are. We did elder training and read a terrific book by Joan Gray called Spiritual Leadership for Church Officers. She tried to find a more obvious title but couldn't. Spiritual Leadership for Church Officers, what's that about? And they taught the best thing about the book, you don't have to read it, you don't have to write that title down. I'm gonna save you $15 and tell you the best thing about that book. She talks about the church. She talks about two kinds of, if the church is like a boat, there's two kinds of boats that they had in Jesus' time. They had rowboats and sailboats. Rowboats are powered by the power of the people in the boat. Sailboats are powered by the wind. And she asks, what kind of church do you want to be? Do you want to be the kind of church that's powered by yourselves? Or do you want to be the church powered by the Holy Spirit, the wind of God, blowing you in God's direction? Wow. That's it. We are not God. We often say, I'm going alone. And God is gracious to us and says, yes, you seem to be, but I'm going with you. And we live our lives in response to that knowledge that the Lord is God and not us, not we ourselves. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. We've got to live with that. We've got to respond to that. And this psalm shows me two ways that we respond. Two ways. One is we bless. We bless. And that makes me think of worship. We come here on the first day of the week. This is the most important thing we do all week. It's the most important thing I do in my whole life, is preparing for this moment, getting to spend it with you, getting to worship God together. It's the most important thing that we do. The other thing is we give thanks. If blessing is action, if blessing is something we actively do when we gather for worship, giving thanks is a little more passive. It's more of a reaction. It's how we live our lives. It's our orientation. I like to say, to confuse people, I like to say, we live Eucharistic lives. We live lives of Eucharist. That just means we live lives of thanksgiving. I mean, can you imagine that in our tradition, we have this table, and on the first Sunday of every month, we have the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. Imagine if you went to a dinner party, and you went, and you were having a lovely time, and they brought out the main course, and shared it around, and you took a little bit of it, and you said, "This is delicious, what's this called?" And they said, "It's called thank you." It's called thank you. We're called to be people of thanks. We're to live lives of thank you to everyone we see. That's what we do when we deal with in our bones that the Lord is God, and we are not. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. When we deal with that, we give thanks and we bless His name in what we do and what we are. This week I had a meeting with the new independent contractor for children and family ministry. She's really great, you guys. Good job. Good job picking her. And Elizabeth and I, as we talked about the future of this congregation. And we've been collecting some of the studies that you guys have done in the past. Lots of different studies have been done. I don't know how much studying really will need to happen. But I do think what we'll do is we'll gather the story of this congregation. Gather the story of this congregation as we understand it. And we'll offer that story to you in different places at different times. And you'll say, yes, yes, or no, not that part. And you'll offer your story of the congregation to us. We'll share the story together. And what'll happen is that story will get extended beyond that place. Because what we're trying to do, and this is a Joan S. Gray quote too, we're trying to figure out what is God calling us to do and to be now in this place where we find ourselves. That's vision, right? What is God calling us to do and to be now in this place where we find ourselves? Elizabeth and I don't know. We don't know. But what we do know is this. We know the Lord is God. And we know that we like to say, I'll go myself. And we know that God smiles and says, yes, and I'm going with you. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks and praise that you've called us to be your people, that you come with us. And sometimes you pull us or push us in the direction you want us to go. We give you thanks for that. Help us to spend time together in the next year, gathering the story and offering the story and sharing the story with one another, that we might extend the story into your future, the future you are drawing us toward in Christ Jesus. We ask this in His name. Amen.